Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Monday, February 8th, 2021. Have you listened to the lyrics of Starboy? Somebody thinks they're fantastic. Where is Dana Carvey when we need him? You know, somebody thinks they're special. Could it be? Anyway, interesting character, Abel Makonnen Tesfaye, known professionally as The Weeknd. How perfect, The Weeknd halftime, you know, Super Bowl halftime show. Anyway, I think it's interesting. I just searched during the break at the top of the hour, Metropolis. No one's talking about Metropolis. There have to be, you know, Reddit boards and people all over. Maybe I'm not supposed to find that or something, but it was a Metropolis theme as far as I'm concerned. I haven't gone back and watched it again, but it was very Metropolis as far as I was concerned, at least the opening. And then it was like the bowels of hell opened up and unleashed a horde of demons on the earth. Was that the symbolism? Was it, hey, we're unleashing chaos, more chaos on the world? I don't know. I'm just speculating, obviously. But enough speculation. Before we dive in further, let's jump on the phones and grab Dan in Washington. Dan, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey, happy Monday.
Hey, thanks, you too.
Talking about some interesting, I had two topics because you're talking about two things as far as the term anti-Semitism and Dinesh D'Souza.
Mm-hmm.
But what I read, have you read, well, I listened to the audiobook, The Jewish State by Theodore Herzl. And he's
have
kind
I read
of the
it?
Father of
right.
What's that?
Zionism. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he defines anti-Semites as people who do not like to be ruled by Jews, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But I think later on what they did, because Semites, you know, not biblical, but they refer to people in that area of the world of like Syria, Egypt, Lebanon. What they did is use that term anti-Semite to make, it's like a mind game to make people think that those Ashkenazis belong in that part of the world.
Right.
So by calling you an anti-Semite, they're playing a mind trick on you that they belong in that part of the world of Palestine.
Right. Yep. And because most Christians don't do their own homework and believe what they're told, they don't do, you know, they don't get to the bottom of this thing, this controversy. I mean, in simple terms, isn't it at least a curious and provocative question to ask? Okay, if a person says, I'm an Ashkenazi Jew, fine. But, you know, Israel was Jacob. Jacob had his name changed by God to Israel. And the Israelites are Jacob's descendants, who is a descendant of Shem. And if you are an Ashkenazi person, you don't descend from Shem. You descend from Shem's brother, Japheth. You're a Japhethite, not a Semite or Shemite. So isn't it just a curious question to ask? How are we having this conversation? And no one seems curious. I mean, I don't know. There's, I think, one Christian person that I know of who has ever been interested in the question. Everybody else wants to run away from it like the plague. And I just think it's provocative and curious.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's all a big mind. Well, and I mean, just think, before the Holocaust, they've always had a victim narrative. So you literally right. had for hundreds of years these Ashkenazis going around trying to get people to feel sorry for them that they were actually enslaved in Egypt. And it's you're not even part of that genetic line, right? It's like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing, kind of like the race baiting that's going on in America right now and how so many people are mind controlled, but you're not supposed to ask questions about it. Well, if we're really going
right.
if there really is a problem and we really want to get to the bottom of it and root it out, shouldn't we be asking questions? Isn't that how you do that? But we're not supposed to ask questions. We're just supposed to believe whatever is thrown in front of people through mainstream channels, and that obviously is foolish.
Exactly, exactly. And we'll go on a different topic, Dinesh D'Souza. I've never trusted, I mean, you kind of got to watch out for the, I've known a lot of Indians, are a lot of good people. It's not that I don't like Indians or Hindus, but, you know, they started the grant program so they could basically take over. They have unfair competitive advantage of, say, buying hotels, 7-Elevens, all the truck stops in America, and they've
only
they've
come if, only to if become... your name is Patel. Just kidding.
Okay.
Now, but, probably get in trouble. People don't understand. I'm not. Anyway, whatever.
But they've kind of been. Well, they're important, and the thing is, Indians make great anti. They make great anti-Muslims because they don't like Muslims in India. Because so the Zionists are using the Indians as kind of a Zionist ruling class over us, in my view.
And that was kind of, yeah, that was kind of my point. Everyone's playing their role. You know, when you said there is this Ashkenazi in particular victimhood, and that victimhood card is played, the 6 million, you know, Mike in Kentucky called in last week, and I was digging around. Speaking of Hitchcock's book, you know, he has a reference to Andrew Carrington Hitchcock has a reference to the 6 million number originating in 1919. And I recall it being around at the turn of the 20th century before World War One. So I'm going to have to look into that more. Maybe I'll refer to the 6 million, a couple of references.
Yeah, I've seen like old Hitchcock's newspaper Synagogue articles. Satan.
But yeah, the whole point though is that number has been debunked several times. And so again, speaking of things you can't ask questions about, when you start asking, you know, even the official accounts from nations at the conclusion, you know, years after World War II, officially,
hold on a minute,
that number didn't exist. So how did we get here? No, silence. You can't ask that question. And so that's really peculiar because... You know, I mean, that's a thing.
It's a joke.
Just asking that question will get you kicked out of countries and thrown in jail.
Right.
David Irving, Ernst Zundel, folks like that. So it's interesting.
Well, and I've seen all these old newspaper articles from like World War One saying, you know, Europe's 6 million Jews are in Poland, and they switch countries and. No, it's that victimhood thing. It's part of a strategy to dominate you, basically using guilt, I think. And I think before the Holocaust, they had that kind of, you know, we were slaves in Egypt, even though they were running the global slave trade at the time.
Right.
I'm like, always
and
feel
again,
sorry
you can't. Yeah, you can't ask
right.
that question. You know, which is why I mentioned Tony Martin several times last week, since we're in Black History Month. Who are
okay.
the real
All right.
slave traders?
The Indian,
yeah.
the Indian thing's a whole other topic. I'll leave.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if you look at like Pat Robertson saying Nikki Haley is a good choice for president, that
Nimrata.
Should tell you something. Yeah,
yeah,
Nimrata. Like, why would a Christian guy, you know, be supporting a Hindu Indian for president, other than the fact that she's hardcore Zionist? And you got to yeah. look at Israel selling arms to India currently, and there's a huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
anyway,
too much. Too many facts, Dan. We can't ask questions. We're not supposed to ask questions, especially
right,
on a
right.
Monday. Hey, what book did you ask me about before I forget? Which book of Herzl's?
Theodor Herzl, The Jewish State.
Right. Do you
kind of
know what
is, what's that?
Yeah.
He
yeah,
kind of
no,
lays out Zionism. He lays out
absolutely.
The whole plan right then and there, you know. And,
right. Right. So, you know, speaking of that, I think I mentioned, yeah, I'm pretty sure I mentioned last week, what I usually refer to is the Jewish Ottoman Land Company by Waleed Khalidi. I think I mentioned that last week. It was published in 1993. The Jewish Ottoman Land Company, Herzl's Blueprint for Colonization of Palestine, for the Christians who labor under the delusion that, you know, Israel was created in a day, this thing over, no. And just, you know, by way of review, speaking of Der Judenstaat, in Khalidi's The Jewish Ottoman Land Company, he wrote some 60 years ago as Appendix 1 of his magisterial Die Zionische Bewegung, again, my German is horrible, the Zionist movement, Adolf Baum, a leading authority on early Zionism, published the full text of a remarkable document from the Herzl archives in Vienna. This is the draft of a proposed agreement, a charter, between the World Zionist Organization and the Ottoman government concerning the, quote, privileges, rights, liabilities, and duties of the Jewish Ottoman Land Company for the settlement of Palestine and Syria. The document does not bear a date, but it seems to have been drawn up sometime between the summer of 1901 and early 1902. Its authors seem to be the principally Theodor Herzl, founder of Zionism, and Arminius Vanbury, a Hungarian Orientalist of Jewish descent. Vanbury was not only close to Herzl, the latter fondly refers to him in his diaries as my little uncle, but also to Abdul Hamid, the Ottoman Sultan. And so last but not least, speaking of Herzl, the quote that the infamous quote that floats around, and I think I mentioned this last week too, quoting from Terror Out of Zion, J. Boyer Bell's book published back in 1977. It's the quote has floated around everywhere. And again, this is one of those things that they're trying to sort of erase from history, but Herzl did say it. So Herzl was asked after the first World Zionist Congress in August of 1897, what do you think is the, you know, sort of crowning achievement of this meeting? And his response was, if I had to sum up what happened at the Congress of Basel, the Zionist Congress, the first Zionist Congress, he said, I would say that I founded the Jewish state. This would provoke universal laughter today in 1897, that is, but perhaps in 20 years and certainly in 50, it will be there for all the world to see. And it was there in 50 years almost to the day. So,
okay. Yeah. And I think even, and some of his partners at that time, I heard a deep dive on Fascination, but they got in the Schofield Bible. And right, some, like for Bible salesmen, they were handing out free copies of that Schofield Bible funded by some of these bankers. And so it's a very...
I wonder why. You know, why would they hand out free copies?
Right.
Kind of like, exactly. I wonder why, if the vaccine is so great and it's so important to get and we're in so much danger, why all the force? Why the mobilization of military troops? Well, that's just for distribution. Wait, no, right. Now they're saying for administering. Why all the force then? Why the smart power?
Right. All right. Well, appreciate it, Dan. Thanks,
you too. Appreciate the call. You know, this is controversial territory, but you know what? It's important to do that kind of stuff sometimes. Let's see if I can find this other thing real quick. Where is that? From Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's The Synagogue of Satan, page 51, the updated, expanded, and uncensored version, page 51, 1890, is going through the chronology. And again, hopefully people understand, you know, he begins the book, and I've talked about this before, you know, all of the sort of what do you call it? Remedial stuff that we have to do from time to time. You said this. Yeah, but I explained before, if you've listened to this broadcast for any length of time. So conflating terms is, you know, speaking of logical fallacies, that's something that happens, equivocation fallacy. And it's the strategy of the counter gang, for example, you know, where you create or identify a group that's, you know, these guys are bad. And then you associate that group with the larger group, kind of like the Wahhabi stuff. You know, again, Zbigniew Brzezinski bragging about the fact that we created the Afghan Mujahideen, which became Al-Qaeda. Again, you know, Robin Cook wrote the definitive article on that the day after the London 7/7 bombings, and he was dead less than 30 days later. The struggle against terrorism cannot be won by military means. Great article. Everyone should read it. And in that article, he wrote, Al-Qaeda, literally the database, quote unquote. Why did they keep changing the spelling of Al-Qaeda? Isn't that interesting? Al-Qaeda. Literally the database, quote unquote, was originally the computer file of the thousands of Mujahideen who were recruited and trained with help from the CIA, ostensibly, I would say, as I always say when I read this passage, to defeat the Russians. How come we don't? Why is it that common knowledge? It was for Robin Cook, and apparently he took it to the grave with him, even though it's still published in The Guardian. The struggle against terrorism cannot be won by military means. So, you know, this I don't know, the counter gang strategy. Anyway, getting off track. Lots of ground to cover. Once again, we're not gonna get to it all, but I want to circle back to this other stuff. And then I have to get back to the other stuff I mentioned last week. I think that's important stuff, really. Kind of high level, you know, big picture stuff. Getting back to Plato's cave and hopefully out of the cave. And other big picture stuff. I was reading the Allegory of the Cave recently again and thinking, yeah, you know, I think it's just helpful to revisit from time to time and see its practical application in life. So Hitchcock's Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored, page 51. 1890, Jewish-Austrian journalist Nathan Birnbaum creates the name Zionism, quote-unquote, which was a code name for Jewish nationalism, quote-unquote, in his journal, Self-Emancipation. While we're at it, I don't know. I've talked about doing this. Maybe I'll add a couple of entries here. So, next entry in Hitchcock's Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored, on page 51. 1891, the British labor leader makes the following statement on the subject of the Rothschilds, you know, who changed their name to the money-changing sign, red sign. There's a lot of red over the weekend at the weekend halftime show, right? The weekend halftime show. 1891, British labor leader makes the following statement on the subject of the Rothschilds. This blood-sucking crew has been the cause of untold mischief and misery in Europe during the present century and has piled up its prodigious wealth chiefly through fomenting wars between states which ought never to have quarreled. Finish the citation when we come back. Stick around. All right, after this break.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Welcome back. Provocateurs of the world, unite. It's interesting, you know, speaking of patterns, another thing that I've noticed is there is scant news coverage of Sleepy Creepy Joe. People say the White House is empty. He's probably been arrested. Anyway, Biden is on scene today. He's in country, apparently, on scene at the White House. But even, you know, Joe, you know, he's always been confused about who the president is, as we know. But even the first question to him, I think, when he disembarked this morning and arrived at the White House, I think the first question was about Trump. Maybe we'll play that in a second. But first, to finish the quote from page 51. Well, the full quote. 1891, British labor leader makes the following statement on the subject of the Rothschilds. Quote, "This blood-sucking crew has been the cause of untold mischief and misery in Europe during the present century, and has piled up its prodigious wealth chiefly through fomenting wars between states which ought never to have quarreled." And I would say people who ought never to have quarreled. Provocateurs of the world, unite. There's a lot of that stuff these days. A lot of talk about Trump. Not much talk about Biden. Why do you suppose that is? Whenever there is trouble in Europe, continuing with the quote, whenever there is trouble in Europe, whenever rumors of war circulate and men's minds are distraught with fear or change and calamity, you may be sure that a hook-nosed Rothschild is at his games somewhere near the region of the disturbance. And Hitchcock adds, comments like this worry the Rothschilds, and toward the end of the 1800s, they purchased Reuters news agency so that they can exercise some control over the media. And that's gone further, obviously. Anyway, maybe a couple more. I've mentioned Edmund de Rothschild in the past. So from page 52, this continues. 1895, Edmund James de Rothschild, the youngest son of Jacob James Mayer Rothschild, visits Palestine to see the Jewish colonies, and he was a self-described Zionist, Baron Edmund de Rothschild. To see the Jewish colonies he funded as a result of the Rothschild-engineered pogroms in Russia, Poland, Bulgaria, and Romania, he is impressed. You know, speaking of everyone must, you know, all the world is a stage, we all must play our roles, right? Places, places, comrades. He is impressed and vows to continue to supply funds to these colonies in furtherance of the long-term Rothschild objective of creating a Rothschild-owned Jewish state. 1897, and again, we're conflating terms, but hopefully we don't get hung up on that. Hopefully you understand what I mean by that. 1897, Edward Henry Harriman becomes the director of the Union Pacific Railroad and goes on to take control of the Southern Pacific Railroad. This is all financed by Rothschilds. Rothschilds, this is also 1897, Rothschilds found the Zionist Congress to promote Zionism. Zionism is portrayed as a political movement seeking to secure a homeland for the Jews, but is in reality a conspiracy to bring the entire world under Jewish nationalism, which means world government administered and controlled by Jews, and in particular the Rothschilds. Continuing, the Zionist Organization of America is formed, 1897. Richard Gottheil is appointed its first president, and Rabbi Stephen Wise its first secretary. And, you know, we already mentioned this, but why not continue? From 1897, this, of course, is, again, an entry from Hitchcock's The Synagogue of Satan. So, 1897, the first meeting of the Zionist Congress is arranged to take place in Munich. However, due to opposition from local Jews, and this, again, is why we can't conflate terms. And I usually say the Naturi Carta, for example, are anti-Zionist. They are virulent anti-Zionist, you might say. And then we start getting into specifics. The Talmud, the Kabbalah, I would not consider Orthodox Judaism, but then there is the issue of Romans 11:25, I believe it is. And you know, you got to understand, there's a lot more to the story than meets the eye. There are a lot of subtleties and nuances in the works. Anyway, stick around, I'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Food's primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Monday, February 8th, 2021. I was just thinking in the break about an article I read over the weekend, something to the effect of, COVID, because climate change. And so if, you know, you probably caught COVID more because of climate change. So if you're a climate denier, you're killing grandma twice as much, because you're probably a COVID denier and a climate denier, even though you probably know the history of this climate nonsense. And the Club of Rome cooked up the scheme back in the early 70s and said, you know, we got to convince man that he's the enemy. He's the reason that the planet is in trouble. And so you just need to quit breathing. If all of you useless eaters would just quit breathing, then, you know, we could finally get to the business of life. But I thought that plants thrived on carbon dioxide, and there was that whole, you know, maybe we should just plant a tree. Yeah, facts. Anyway, so continuing the excerpt from Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored, 1897, the chronology. First meeting of the Zionist Congress is arranged to take place in Munich. However, due to opposition from local Jews, probably the Notari Carta, just kidding, this meeting has to be moved to Basel, Basel, Switzerland. There's also, what, the BIS, something Quigley said, you know, the apex of control, something like that. It's interesting, you know, Paul said that the love of money, the way that Ayn Rand put it, you know, money is the root of all evil. No, that's not quite accurate. The way Paul put it, the love of money is the root of all evil. And there there are certain folks, you know, that seem to kind of fit that description and also seem to, I don't know, I think they are curiously similar to those that Jesus described in Revelation 2:9 and 3:9, those who call themselves Jews but are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. And so that's interesting. You know, just because somebody calls themselves something, I'm a duck. I'm an anti-duck. We play that every once in a while. Pirates and Emperors. Maybe we'll play that today. You know what? I'm an anti-duck. Just because someone calls themselves an anti-duck doesn't necessarily mean anything. In fact, sometimes the Streisand effect is in full effect, and it makes it more obvious that what they're doing is actually lying. I digress. The first meeting, 1897, the first meeting of the Zionist Congress was arranged to take place in Munich. However, due to opposition from local Jews, this meeting has to be moved to Basel, Switzerland, and takes place on August 29th. The meeting, August 29, 1897. The meeting is chaired by Ashkenazi Jew Theodor Herzl, which, again, I think is a contradiction. In my opinion, I'll just say it that way. In my study of history, there is no such thing as, in the sort of orthodox sense, you know, there is no Ashkenazi descendant of Jacob or Israelite. There is no Ashkenazi Israelite, if that makes sense. Because these are two separate hereditary lines. Jacob was a descendant of Shem. Ashkenaz was a descendant of Japheth. Different. Genesis 10. Simple. I digress. So, you know, Ashkenazi Jew is a contradiction of terms in my humble estimation. I'll leave it at that. I'm sure that's probably enough to, you know, get some people kicked off the air. Whatever. It's not, and, you know, just to be clear, it's not hate speech in the orthodox sense, not the Orwellian rhetoric we see floating around everywhere. It's not. This is just in an effort to try to bring things to light that generally are, you know, for whatever reason, taboo, controversial. People seem nervous a lot of times to explore this subject matter for whatever reason. Isn't that strange? Why are we encouraged not to seek the truth? That seems odd, doesn't it? So that should get you scratching your head if that's the case. The meeting is chaired by Ashkenazi Jew Theodor Herzl, who would go on to state in his diaries, quote, "It is essential that the suffering of Jews become worse. This will assist in realization of our plans. I have an excellent idea. I shall induce anti-Semites to liquidate Jewish wealth." Anti-Semites to liquidate Jewish wealth. You mean like George Soros? Remember the Steve Croft interview, 60 Minutes? Anyway, I digress. I shall induce anti-Semites to liquidate Jewish wealth. The anti-Semites will assist us thereby in that they will strengthen the persecution and oppression of Jews. The anti-Semites shall be our friends. And this is an interesting thing. Well, let me come back to that. The anti-Semites shall be our friends. Continuing, Hitchcock writes, Herzl is subsequently elected president of the Zionist organization, which adopts the Rothschild red hexagram as the Zionist flag, which 51 years later will end up on the flag of Israel. So-called, it's not the biblical Israel. At this conference, I can hear Christians everywhere weeping, Zionist Christians, which again is a contradiction in terms, weeping and wailing everywhere. Oh my goodness, how can he say these things? I don't know. Do a little research. Do your own. Don't listen to the guy up on the stage with the United States flag with the little gold fringe on it and then that other flag on the other side. That's not the Star of David. Find me anywhere in the Bible where it is referred to as the Star of David. Come on, let's stop. Let's stop playing, shall we? Let's stop playing. Come on. Chris, could a billion Chinese be wrong? Yes, my friend, a billion Chinese could all be wrong. It is possible. Yes, entirely possible. At this conference, Chaim Weizmann, who would go on to become its head, declares, quote, "There are no English, French, German, or American Jews, but only Jews living in England, France, Germany, or America," end quote. The minutes of the first World Zionist Congress will be released to the world many years later as, quote, protocols of the meetings of the learned elders of Zion, end quote. And Hitchcock adds, "I present them in their entirety here. When it was alleged to have been announced to the Zionist community, so as you read on in this book, you will be able to decide for yourself if it is indeed an anti-Semitic hoax, as the Jews claim." Again, we're conflating terms, but I'm just going to read the text. "Or the opposite, a plan for world domination which has been carefully implemented by the Jewish community." Again, we're conflating terms. I'll continue. "In the few years prior," and then parenthetically he adds, "it was first discovered by non-Jews when it was purchased in 1884 by the daughter of Russian General Justine Glinka for the sum of 2,500 francs from Joseph Schorst, a Jewish Freemason from the Mizraim Lodge in Paris," end parenthesis, "and ever since," period. Anyway, I'll leave it at that. But going back, let's see, "The anti-Semites shall be our best friends." That's from the quote from Herzl's diaries. "Anti-Semites shall be our friends." I have mentioned every once in a while when I talk about the business plot, and that's an interesting discussion that, you know, we revisited recently, but when I mention it, I usually refer affectionately to John Spivak's 1935 article series, "Wall Street's Fascist Conspiracy." Excuse me, "Wall Street's Fascist Conspiracy: Testimony That the Dickstein Committee Suppressed." And it's an interesting thing, you know, without getting into the controversy over the business plot, John Spivak was one of the few people to point out that the Smelly Butler's testimony was heavily redacted in the press to the point of misconstruing context. Imagine that. And now we've gotten to the point where it's been discredited, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, these are powerful interests. J.P. Morgan, Kuhn Loeb, Felix Warburg. Powerful folks, and of a particularly what you would call Jewish bent, you know, particularly in the financial circles. And so Spivak notes, to Herzl's point in his diaries that Andrew Carrington Hitchcock points out, you know, again, speaking of patterns, is that true? Did Herzl really write that? And is there evidence of that, is the point. So after the business plot, John Spivak writes his article series, "Wall Street's Fascist Conspiracy," in which he writes, "It will be shown that financial and economic class considerations rise above every other kind." Again, speaking of the similarities to, you know, what Paul wrote about the love of money being the root of all evil and what Jesus said in Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. And also, speaking of Jesus, there was a group that he threw out of the temple for something. So there's kind of a pattern there, I think. Spivak writes, "It will be shown that financial and economic class considerations rise above every other kind." Really, like every other kind? Yeah, he added, "including racial and religious ones." So again, "It will be shown that financial and economic class considerations rise above every other kind, including racial and religious ones. The anti-Semitic character of Nazism has been abundantly demonstrated in these pages, semicolon. Nevertheless, this article and succeeding ones will reveal Jewish financiers working with fascist groups which, if successful, would unquestionably heighten the wave of Hate the Jew propaganda. Gosh, that's interesting, because that sounds precisely like what Andrew Carrington Hitchcock quoted Theodore Herzl, the father of Zionism, as writing in Herzl's diaries. It is essential that the suffering of the Jews become worse. This will assist in the realization of our plans. I have an excellent idea. I shall induce anti-Semites to liquidate Jewish wealth. The anti-Semites will assist us thereby in that they will strengthen the persecution and oppression of Jews. The anti-Semites shall be our friends, end quote. Gosh, that seems like a pattern. I can't say with certainty, but I doubt that Spivak was aware of Herzl's diary entry. So, interesting, all these years later, some, 85 years later or so, that, you know, there seems to have been a pattern emerging in all of this. Despite the fact that most Christians labor under the delusion that Israel was created in a day, just like biblical prophecy foreshadowed. Yeah. An Israel was created, perhaps in a day, you might say, but not really. And it's not the biblical Israel. Truman was the first, right? I think if memory serves, Truman was the first to, you know, as a sort of hostage, political hostage. Anyway, and then, you know, we get into the, you know, over the break, the last break, I was thinking about the chosen, God's chosen people controversy, because I mentioned some things like Romans 11:25. It's interesting. This, again, is a nuanced issue, and without getting, you know, this broadcast is never supposed to be preachy, and I'm not qualified anyway. So I'm not saying I am a definitive authority on the subject. I'm just mentioning some curious observations. This is not a sermon by any stretch of the imagination. These are supposed to be sort of historical facts more than anything. But I'm just saying it's a nuanced issue, you know, the chosen people deal. And I'm not trying to foment controversy by any means either, just trying to shed some light generally, again, in the Jeffersonian spirit, perhaps. Romans 11:25, "For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation." What mystery? "That a partial hardening has happened to Israel." Now, who was Israel, by the way? Israel was Jacob. God changed Jacob's name. Israel then is the descendants, you know, it's a particular people group, particular demographic. "Partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in." Oh, that's interesting. Grafted in, as it were, as Paul tells us. "And so all Israel will be saved, just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob." See? "This is my covenant with them, when I take away their sins." So that's quoting Jeremiah. "From the standpoint of the gospel," verse 28, "they are enemies for your sake." What? That's an interesting paradox to scratch your head and sort of ruminate on. "But from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers," little f. "For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable." Oh, that's interesting. "For just as you once were disobedient to God, but now have been shown mercy because of their disobedience, so these also now have been disobedient, that because of the mercy shown to you, they also may now be shown mercy." Ooh, that's a cool paradox. "For God has shut up all in disobedience so that he may show mercy to all." Wow, that's amazing. Amazing. So there are nuances there, and I'll finish this thought when we come back. Stick around more right after this break.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Time. Let's see if we can squeeze this in. Joe Biden, I think, was asked about Trump as he disembarks the helicopter. Can we play that real quick? Not sure what that is.
Didn't hear you, sorry.
Do you think Trump should lose his political
rights?
There we go.
I think what should move?
Trump should lose
reporter
his political rights.
Asking Joe Biden about Donald Trump.
Tomorrow when the impeachment starts.
He's got an offer to come and testify. He's decided not to. We'll let the Senate work that out.
All right. And where is she from, by the way? She didn't sound, Anyway, so on the other thought, Jesus, John chapter 2, the Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who were selling oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. And he made a scourge of cords and drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who were selling the doves, he said, take these things away. Stop making my father's house a place of business. His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your father's house will consume me. Verse 18, the Jews then said to him, what sign do you show us as your authority for doing these things? Of course they did. Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews then said, it took 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Anyway, skipping over to Romans, chapter 2, who's who in the zoo, from about verse 17. But if you bear the name Jew and rely upon the law and boast in God and know his will and approve the things that are essential, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind and light to those who are in darkness, a corrector of the foolish, a teacher of the immature, having in the law, capital L, the embodiment of the knowledge of the truth. And this is an interesting point, because these people who are in question are the chosen people as the keepers of the oracles of God in particular. So that's why, you know, specifically, you are the keepers. And you see that in places like Hosea chapter 4, the indictment that comes down through the chain of command. Talked about that before. So this, you therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that one shall not steal, do you steal? You who say that one should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? Oh, that's interesting. As a final point, to sort of punctuate this, you know, you can go to Romans 9 for who's who in the zoo, but also Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, right? He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. That's who's who in the zoo, and that's who's chosen, predestined before the foundation of the world, as he says in verse 4, Paul, that is. Ephesians chapter 1. Anyway, not supposed to be preachy, just trying to shed light on the controversy that persists. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Involving the energy planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an energy planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.